Well, good morning, everyone. I appreciate what you shared, Monroe. A couple of thoughts, just if I may comment briefly. I just wonder if the Lord will pass the blessings on from that Komodo Joe to us. Anyway, I was wondering if you would share. We'll do a little sharing. Anyway, and I also think that what you shared is going to be, it's a kind of a practical application of what I'm going to be sharing. You can ask my wife, I like to pontificate about lofty and wonderful ideas and concepts, but sometimes you just need a practical way to apply them, make them work. So, I'm going to try to condense this down. It's quite a bit of material. It's a big topic, and so bear with me, and I'm going to definitely not go too long here. I told my wife this kind of topic, it's kind of, I compare it to like making maple syrup. You gather a lot of material, a lot of sap, but now you got to bring it all down to a place where you can use it on pancakes. And we're going to dive right in. The title of this is called The Unlikely Kingdom. So near, yet still so far, far away. So close, yet still to come. The seed is mysteriously growing in hearts that will listen and hear. A treasure that's hidden, a pearl of great price, a fortune for fools who believe. A kingdom of beauty, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of justice and peace, a kingdom that holds all the wilds of creation, a kingdom where children will lead. For now this kingdom's a land of the lowly, a place for the tired, plundered poor. Now our gentle king comes in peace on a donkey, but then on a charger for war. A battle in heaven, a war on the earth, to shatter the long darkened siege. Not by our own strength, not by the power of might, but by the Spirit it comes. Blinded eyes will see, and deafened ears will hear, the praises from the lips of the dumb. A kingdom of beauty, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of justice and peace, a kingdom that holds all the wilds of creation, a kingdom where children will lead. And that was a song written by Michael Card that really illustrates what I would like to talk about today. I'd like to talk about the kingdom of heaven. In the New Testament, it also uses the phrase kingdom of God. And that's earlier on in the New Testament. Later on in the New Testament, Paul, I don't think, uses this term. Or if he does, it's not very much. And depending on what, but this is used quite a few times in the New Testament. The Jews had a great oral tradition. And Matthew was a very, I guess the term would be, he was a very stalwart Jew in how he wrote. And our text today is going to be Matthew 5, very familiar, and the Beatitudes. But Matthew, like a good Jew, he was the second person to put together a book of the Gospels. Mark was the first, from what I read. And Mark shared a lot of the stories he witnessed and all that, but here comes Matthew, and he's got to have all the sayings, all the stories, and all those type of things that someone who is used to memorizing and reciting and sharing and conversing in the synagogue, he has to, that's why Matthew, and I just think that's really interesting, a context for some of this. It's really, I was thinking about some of these things because of our, some of it comes from our couple of reasons. The Bible app that I use had went through the Beatitudes, and I just felt like there was something more that I needed from them. And so it was on my mind, and then we had our conversation at Brothers Meeting, and I was thinking about where we were talking about a statement of faith and what we'd like to put together and updating kind of what we have and some of those kind of things. We were just putting out ideas, discussing things, and we were talking about also about how Jesus, we don't live in the old law. These are some of the things we were talking about anymore. We're part of this new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. We're part of this wonderful and different realm. Anyway, so that's how I came to where we're at today. And so we're going to join with Matthew here, and we're going to read Matthew 5, 1 through 11. I mean, you guys could probably all quote these. I remember when we started with, I know it's not very popular, but we, in some circles, but we started with, our family started under the ATI program using their materials in our homeschooling, and I remember them teaching the Sermon on the Mount, and they, this first verse, I remember how it changed my heart and our family. It made such a difference in how we saw the scriptures and what Jesus said. It was just, I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I know I may have even spoken of this before, but I remember so clearly this first verse they taught in the very first book and how I understood the scriptures in a new way after going through this material about this verse. And then the Sermon on the Mount, we continued to work through that. Seeing Matthew 5, 1, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. Verse 2, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And he uses the kingdom of heaven a couple of times in that portion of scripture, but he also, if you think about all the parables, he said the kingdom of heaven is like unto. So this is a theme in the book of Matthew, and we're going to use it this morning to talk about we're going to talk about I'd like to talk just a little bit, not very long, because I'm just about out of time here. We're going to talk just briefly about this kingdom, this treasure that we have. I think it's a foundational identity that we have to have in Christ to be part of his kingdom. And that's what we're going to need if we're going to create a real statement of faith. We're going to have to come from that premise. Also, and I remember also in our discussion on Wednesday, when we talked about that Jesus brought in the new covenant, I'm paraphrasing and putting a lot of things together here, but we talked on that theme about how Jesus And I was thinking about how Jesus talked in Hebrews about the new and living way. Today we want to look at the scripture that Jesus wrote about in his new kingdom. I'll be the first to tell you my material today is not, it may not be the best syrup you're going to ever have, but I think you'll be able to use what we study today. And we're going to try to condense it down. I don't think I have the capacity anyway to give to you a completeness of this kingdom that we're talking about. But hopefully, this is an introduction, a beginning for you to dig in yourself. You know, as we study this kingdom and try to understand it, would you really know the United States of America if all you knew was the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights? Absolutely not. There is so much more to living in this country or in the U.S. And my hope is that studying these scriptures today will encourage all of us to continue to search and learn more about this wonderful kingdom that we're citizens of. In Ephesians 2:19-22, it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple. In him you are also built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit." Well, we just read the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 as what they're referred to. So, something I thought was interesting, the Beatitudes come from the Latin beatus, meaning happy or fortunate. And I just think I think that's a wonderful thought. What a powerful thought that we can be part of Jesus' teachings like this. It's one of the foundational things that happened in the Old Testament in the giving of the law. We think a lot of the Ten Commandments, which is kind of like the cliff notes of the Levitical law. Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law for Christ, and is the end, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, Romans 10:4. It is wonderful to see him do that. With each authority and completeness, there is a growing, a widening, and glorious difference between the attitude in the Levitical law given in the Old Testament and Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. You hear so much blessing, grace, and an invitation as Jesus beckons us to come and be part of the greatest kingdom time and eternity have seen and will ever see. What a privilege to accept and be members of this kingdom in the light of that thought. Let us go through and focus in a bit on some of these verses that we read. And we can use them for practical living and fellowship together. Just grab a hold of something, because we're going to fly through these things. And then we're going to just wrap it up. And maybe just tune in really tight. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Those who are poor in spirit recognize their fallen and sinful state, their need for God's mercy. It is the opposite of spiritual pride, self-reliance, self-justification, recognizing our own spiritual poverty. We must turn to Christ for our complete spiritual filling. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." 1 Peter 5:6. And it's interesting, the first part of the passage of the first part of the Beatitudes, it deals more with how we relate to God, what we need for ourselves to be part of this kingdom. I feel like the second part is more dealing with others and those around us. And it's interesting how God, a lot of times, we have to deal with ourselves, but we can't stay there. We have to move on. So, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." This is verse 4. Mourn here refers to not to bereavement for lost loved ones, but rather to sorrow for the brokenness, evil, and evil corruption in our world. I mean, Dave prayed this morning for what's going on in Israel, and we think of Ukraine and Haiti. I mean, if we want to feel the weight of sin, not only for ourselves and our own sinful man, our own Adamic nature, then think about the evil and the wickedness that's going on in the world right now. Let that weight settle on you. And it is part of repentance and contrition. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And I tell you what, this almost feels like I'm doing it an injustice, but there are so many correlating scriptures. It's just mind-blowing, and there's more I could share on that. So we're going to skip verse 5 and go on to verse 6. We'll come back to verse 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Hunger and thirst for righteousness is a natural outcome of true repentance and is a work of the Holy Spirit within the believer. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Mercy includes forgiveness of others, but also compassion for people in need, those in pain, misery, or distress. Our actions should reflect and be motivated by God's mercy toward us. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:13, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Heart in the Bible refers to the whole person, the mind, the will, the emotions, the actions. The pure in heart pursues God's transforming power in the inner being and acts towards others with sincerity, transparency, and integrity, not from ulterior or mixed motives. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, Hebrews 10:22. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Peacemakers work toward reconciliation, just as Christ's mission was one of reconciling the people to God. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Our peacemaking efforts can be towards another person with whom we have conflict, between other individuals, or more broadly, between groups in the church or in our society. The Bible elsewhere provides wisdom and boundaries in this area and does not confuse true reconciliation with appeasement. But the wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James 3:17-18. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Persecution can be expected in some measure by those whose heart and intentions and actions directly conflict with their prevailing culture. This can take a wide range of forms, from social, page turn, from social pressure, ostracizing, canceling, to harsh or physical treatment, like we read about today in Acts. They were experiencing a very harsh, and it was to the place where people were getting killed. John 15:18-19 says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, different kingdom, before the world hates you. Therefore, the world hates you." And I'm going to comment on verse 5 here. To me, verse 5, Verse 5 just brings it together in my mind. And there were a couple of sources. I read or listened to some sermons from different guys. I wish I could recall all their names. Also, some of these this outline was that I kind of reconstructed, but some of these thoughts. So these are not all my thinking, but this verse 5. I think because we love structure, we love lists, we love a plan on how to do stuff, that gives us security. We like that. And so we gravitate toward the law. We do. The Ten Commandments, we love that. And it's not a bad thing because Jesus built his life on that, bringing it to a much broader. The kingdom is, the foundation of the kingdom is on the Old Testament law. We can't get away from that. You'll clearly see that in the scriptures. And I wished we could. It almost feels like we're doing it injustice by not laying that groundwork a little better. But we want so much to have that assurance that we're doing the right thing. But here Jesus comes along. But there are some problems with the law and the working it out. And as we know, we tend to worship the law and not Jesus. It just happens. That is humanity, and we can fight against it, but the only way we're really going to truly know and understand this bigger kingdom, this principle of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, this kingdom where there's love. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I think meek is describing the very character of Jesus, because of some other scriptures that we'll get to. But Jesus comes to us and he says, it's not really about doing this list. It's about being a follower of me. It's about, he says in Matthew 11:29, he describes himself as gentle and lowly. I think this verse sums up all of the Beatitudes. What represents a more complete picture and an example of these wonderful scriptures in Jesus himself, as he invites us to take his character and share our burdens with him. So here is someone who will not only expect us to keep a list, that's what we think we need to do, but what he's saying is, come to me, share your burden with me, give your life to me, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And he doesn't say, get it right. He said, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not supposed to be hard. I guess I'm not real sure how to bring this to a close. I have a lot here. I'll just say this. Brothers and sisters, if we truly want to follow Jesus and walk with God the Father and be guided by the Holy Spirit, if we truly have experienced redemption so that we are now citizens of the kingdom of heaven, let us press on and continue to grow so that one day the completeness of this kingdom will be our eternal reality in heaven. And I'll just, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And I think that is what our goal is as we serve Jesus in the kingdom of heaven.